Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another Mornings with the Masters, where we devote ourselves to the Lord daily with you. We're picking back up with New Morning Mercies. I'm just going to take from here. It says this: I have been married for many years. I have a wonderful wife. I've hoped for years that she won't realize what a bad deal she got. From a distance, you would conclude that we basically have a problem-free marriage, but our relationship is still messy. We typically spend Mondays together. We love these days and enjoy the ability to spend them with one another. But somewhere in the middle of a recent Monday, a misunderstanding erupted between us. We both got a bit defensive. The tension was very obvious. Too much silence followed until we asked one another's forgiveness. Too minor to worry about, you say? But these are the moments that we live in. I tell people all the time that we don't just live in big, important moments. We make only a few grand decisions in our entire lives. Most of us won't have a biography written about us. After we die, most of our personal history will die with us, forgotten. We live in little moments. So the character of our relationships is not set in 3 or 4 big moments, but in 10,000 little moments of life. What do these little moments of your relationships look like? How are you dealing with the messiness that lives there? The reality is that you and I have never had a relationship in our lives that hasn't disappointed us in some way. Why is this so universally true? It is true because we all carry into each of our relationships something that is destructive to them. It is something that produces antisocial instincts in all of us. It's something that can make us impatient, self-serving, irritable, proud, critical, and demanding. This relationally destructive thing is sin. 2 Corinthians 5:15 tells us that Jesus came so that those who live might no longer live for themselves. Yes, it is true. The DNA of sin is selfishness. It causes us all to be far too self-focused and self-absorbed. It reduces the field of our normal concern down to our wants, our needs, and our feelings. It makes us all too entitled and all too demanding. It causes us to be quicker to dish out judgment than to extend mercy. It makes us unwilling to overlook minor offenses. It makes us hold on to what we should have long since forgiven. It makes us self-righteously defensive instead of being ready to confess. The mess of relationships is the mess of sin. Admitting that the mess of relationships is the mess of sin is a major step toward hope. It is the very me-ism of sin from which Jesus came to deliver us by his life, death, and resurrection. This means there is grace for every messy moment. You enter into that grace by admitting just how much you need it. And there's a line in here that I really wanted to focus in on, and it says this: it makes us self-righteously defensive instead of being ready to confess. And something that my men's group practices, like we actually, literally, there was like 80 of us in a room and we all paired up with just pairings of 2 people. So there's 40 groups of 2 people and we literally practice confessing so that when all of us went home to our wives, we would be ready to quickly confess a wrong, confess whatever we needed to. And it doesn't mean that there was something there. It was a practice, just like in the same way that whenever I was 17 and I began shaving my face and I got a few nicks, now when I shave my face, I don't because I've practiced it. It's a weird analogy. I apologize for that. But you guys have to admit that there are things in your life, like driving, for example, or like your handwriting. The more you write, the better you probably get at writing because you've practiced it. Confession needs to be something that we also practice. We need to be quick and ready to confess. And so that's just not something that, like, the times when we need to confess is the times that we're least likely to confess because our pride is welling up inside of us, our self-righteousness, which means myself is right, right? And it's like typically whenever we're feeling that way, we're not right. And so I just want to encourage you all to sit down and think to yourself, wow, how can I be super quick to confess and understand that I'm not defined by my sin and neither is my spouse or whatever relationship we're talking about, a parent, a child, a friend, a mentor, a pastor, whatever. Like, we're not defined by that sin. We're defined by the blood on the cross. But that doesn't mean the sin doesn't exist. And being quick to repent, being quick to confess can honestly change the culture of that relationship. It can change the culture of your household. And so, like, an example literally is just like, you know, I don't, you know, if you're in a relationship and something happened, just immediately go to them and sit down and be like, hey, I need to confess to you. I need to repent. This is what happened. And I want to apologize to you that. And will you forgive me for that? And as they do, like, receive that forgiveness over you and then pray that you would be able to turn from that thing and repent from it. And it's just this practice of confession because, again, like I said, whenever we most need to confess, we're least likely to. But if it becomes second nature, especially with how we treat our kids and even confessing, I'm sorry, mommy or daddy was wrong in that moment. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have whatever. And it just builds this beautiful character where we're not just living life for these huge moments, like when we get married, when we have a kid, when we buy our first house, whatever, right? No, there's a million little moments in between all those moments that we need to inspect our character for those moments, because those ones really make up who we are, not just those big decisions. So I just encourage you to start practicing confession and repentance, and don't like let it become like a stigma where it's like, it's awkward to talk about, it's awkward to confess. No, like, let it be easy. Let it be simple. Let it be freeing versus let it be like, well, this is weird. Do I really want to do that? I'm sure they forgive me anyways. Or, oh, so much time has passed. Like, no, like, this is a good thing. We're supposed to confess. And so let's practice this like it's a good thing for us, because it'll free us from the bondage of our own self-righteousness or our own self-punishment that we want to put on ourselves. I'm going to pray. Lord, help us to be quick to confess. Help us to be quick to repent. Help us to build a beautiful culture of saying, I'm sorry, of asking for forgiveness, to be ready to do it and to be quick to do it and to not let the sun go down before we confess and we ask for forgiveness. This is not something that we should be ashamed of. This is something that we should be proud of, that you are working on our pride. And life is not about how many things we do right. Life is about what you got right for us on our behalf. And now we are being molded into the rightness, the righteousness of you, Lord, not the rightness and righteousness of our own ability and good works to do it all on our own. We love you, Lord, and we pray in your Son's heavenly name. Amen. Amen, y'all. Well, now's that perfect time to break out the worship music, break out the journal, and continue pressing to the Lord. Don't forget that you are God's masterpiece, and don't forget to love you. We love you. Talk to you tomorrow. Tschüss.